So this is the brand new Sling the Biscuit podcast. This is the new one. It's been a while since we did any type of podcasting program. I think about 5 weeks since any episode has come out. I want to say, first off, everybody listening, thank you so much for coming back. It's been a little bit of a hiatus, but hopefully you like the new podcasting program. I'm a little bit nervous. I got our new co-host for today. He's lean, he's well-educated, well-versed, a lot more than me. I'd like to welcome Mr. Dave Wheeler to the Sling the Biscuit podcasting program.
Thank you for having me on the show today, sir. It is a pleasure. I have been a follower of your YouTube channel for quite some time, and it has been fun watching your journey throughout the hockey world, traveling transcontinentally and back home. So I don't blame you for not doing a podcast. That's what summer is for hockey players to relax.
Yeah, and I got some stuff to share with you today. I think you'll like, and I think that the people listening, whether your audio version, Apple, Spotify, Google, or the video version on YouTube, which is back, I got some stuff that... I think everybody's going to like. Everybody's really going to enjoy. A little exclusive here if you're on the video version. I got the new dog right here beside me. I got my podcasting beagle. If you're in the car, if you're on Apple, Spotify, you can't see that, but that's okay. Mr. Wheeler is looking great in the studio, in the Energy 106 studio, I might add. Dave is a local radio host in Winnipeg. If you're not from Winnipeg, in my personal opinion, probably the top radio morning show host over the last 10 years, I would say. Some people may disagree, but that's my hot take, and that's why I'm privileged to have him here on the podcasting program today.
From your lips to God's ears, sir.
Well, why don't we start off? First off, so for the podcast program moving forward, Dave isn't going to be my co-host for every single episode. He was just nice enough to fill in because I didn't have a co-host for today. I think every episode is going to change, be a little bit different. So maybe Dave this week, next week, my boy Rob Alon, Rob from Butt Ends, he might fill in. Maybe we'll have a guest. I always want to have somebody in the podcasting conversation, so it's not just myself. I think there's nothing worse out there than a podcast where it's just one person talking and it's that conversation with themselves for 45 minutes. Just not for me. And hopefully, if you're listening for the first time in the last little bit, this will be for you. And yeah, so without further ado, let's get into, I guess, today's topics. I guess we got some news, we got some signings, we got some hockey talk to get to, all this kind of stuff. I know that maybe Dave's and a lot of people listening have only seen kind of my hockey journey from the outside, from seeing what I post on YouTube, what I share online, but the podcast version, I want to be a little bit more of an exclusive. Maybe, you know, the videos on YouTube put up, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 views a piece. And obviously my agent's been telling me these days, hey, careful what you say. Like, we're trying to get you a deal here, right? We gotta keep things in check on the podcast, a little bit looser. So actually, funny enough, so today I got a call from my agent. There's interest from a team in Norway, and a team in Norway that is having some like visa issues with players, and also a guy or a team in Sweden that we talked to about a month ago. They weren't interested at all, but they're having a problem finding, I guess, a goalie. But a lot of teams don't want to take imports because of the new import rules. And if you're not familiar, you haven't been following along with the Hockey Sweden rules. Sweden has really been the only country the last little bit where they allow, you know, people to come in on like a 90-day tourist permit. You can come and go as you please, which is why there's typically so many imports playing in Hockey Sweden and, you know, Division 1, Division 2, Division 3 and whatnot. But this year they changed the rule where everybody has to have a visa and the team pays for it and the team applies for it. So a lot of teams are like, well, every single player, that's about a $2,000 investment between applying for the visa, the insurance, all that other kind of stuff. So a lot of teams are really trying not to bring in imports, which they say is to clean up Swedish hockey. I think it's just to kind of get a lot of the imports out, my personal hot take. But there's been a couple teams like that are interested, and then they start realizing, oh, we have to pay the money, and they're just not down with that. It's interesting.
It's something that's always fascinated me, especially when the strike happened years ago in the NHL, and a lot of guys bailed and jumped ship and went over and played over in Europe in numerous leagues, and they didn't seem to have a problem then. They were very, very quick on the trigger to get all those visas and whatever they needed to get those players over. And it always kind of bothered me because those guys who were workers and had jobs were quickly shuffled aside for these NHL players who were out of work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, like, even in this situation, let's say you have an import like myself, who obviously I'm biased, right? I think I belong at a certain level and I can play at a certain level, but maybe they might quote unquote downgrade because it costs them less money. Like, there's one team that was actually in our series this season, and they were a top three team. They're a very, very offensively talented team. Like, they're putting up 40, 45 shots every night. Actually, they were the one team that I mentioned to you, Dave. They put up 60 shots on me one night, and they put up 45 another. They're a very offensively talented team. But around Christmas time, all the teams reset the the series resets, so new teams get formatted with other new teams, and you're playing for advancement. And when you're playing tougher teams, that team's goaltending wasn't really, really strong, and they're giving up 9, 10, 13 goals a game. Like, it's tough to watch. And talking to the team management, hey, I'll come play for you. I'll come stop some pucks for you. I mean, it can't be worse than the last guy. We're going to wait. We don't want to spend the money, transfer cards, the visa, all that kind of stuff. It's an interesting world. It's almost at this point and at this level, it's not even necessarily about being able to stop a puck or be able to play hockey. More so like the business side of things. What's it going to cost? Is it worth the money for these teams that are on tight budgets to bring in a guy like me or any other import? I know a lot of imports, guys that are putting up a point, point and a half per game during a season, you know, 20 goal or 30 goals in 20 games, they're not even getting a sniff, no offers at all. Like, it's just a bad, bad year for the market.
Well, this is something you might remember, and some people out there as well, but on the original Nintendo Entertainment System, there was good old ice hockey. And when you were setting up your team, you had your option of your skinny guy, your medium guy, and then your fat guy. And I think it's, if you can break it down to something as simple as that, is do you fill your team with a whole bunch of skinny guys, a whole bunch of medium guys, or a whole bunch of fat guys, or do you try and find a balance in this system? And hockey is no different. I mean, everyone's got a salary cap. Over in Europe, I know it's a little bit different as far as you know, what teams have money and what teams don't, but where do you spend the money? Where can you afford to cut a little bit of talent to for the sake of putting some money in your pocket? Because as I think that's one thing a lot of people forget is hockey ownership isn't in it for shits and giggles. They're in it to make money. They're in it to put butts in the seats. And sure, there's maybe the odd one that uses it as a tax write-off, but for the most part, these guys buy hockey teams because they see it as a viable investment. And so spending X amount of dollars on your team, if you're going to be spending more than you're making, that's just not good business practice, period, for anybody.
I mean, any business at all. It doesn't matter whether you're owning a hockey team in Sweden and North America, or if you own the Staples down the street. If you know your bottom line is in the hole and you're underwater, that's not good for the bottom line. It's not good for business in general. It's no different with hockey, right? So I think obviously I'm biased, but a lot of management don't understand the value in having a really, really good goalie. I mean, you would think that a lot would, but you know, when you're the one cutting the checks, you start, okay, maybe I can pinch a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there. And I think it shows in the market. Like there's a guy I was talking to the other day, who's taking over a team, like as a general manager. And he says, do you have any players that like forwards you'd be able to bring with you? I said, sure. I recommended three or four guys that were in my series this year. I said, all these guys don't have a single sniff, nothing. Point per game, goal and a half per game, like really good players. We're good. We got lots of those. Like, you got lots of those. Where are you getting these guys from? You know what I mean? Like, it's just a crazy world, especially business wise as well.
Well, I mean, it comes down to supply and demand too. So, I mean, if there's five goaltenders lined up and they're all of the same caliber, and one of them says, I'll take less money to play on the team, guess which one's getting chosen?
You know, it's funny. I actually talked to a coach or a general manager the other day. We were talking about that. And, so they made an offer. The salary was $125 a week. Maybe I'll give you a little podcast exclusive. So this deal, we did end up signing this deal in North America in the Fed. So my salary is $125 a week. And it was also contingent on the option that I commit to this team in this league, but I can go to Europe, I can go to anywhere else. I just need commitment for this side of things. And same thing, just a lot of players that probably could play that are not going to play. And business-wise, like we just mentioned, when you're paying everybody $125 a week, well, everybody wants a $50 raise. Well, you times that $50 by 20 players, by all these, you know, all the other expenses. Like, it's business, man. It's a tough business.
Now, so out of curiosity, when you say, just to give people an idea, $125 a week, so we're looking at $500 a month. Does that include room and board?
Yeah, that's actually a good question. Thanks for mentioning that, Dave. So the offer for my end. So $125 US a week, which is a lot of money in Canada these days. So $125 a week cash, or I think it might be direct deposit. I don't know. I asked my agent, I said, is it going to be direct deposit or am I going to get it like in a sock in my stall? And he said, you'll find out come check day. I said, okay, great. So that's lined up. We got apartment is taken care of. So living room or like living room and board. What that is, I don't know. I talked to our coach. I said, is it a one bedroom, a two bedroom? Is it a house? He says, we're working on some stuff. We don't know what's going to be cost effective for the team is what you get. So you might live with 10 guys. You might live with one guy. We don't know. So that's taken care of. Sticks. Actually, custom mask was nice. So they're going to cover a custom mask for me this season, which is nice. No pads, no blocker, no glove. I got to earn that. Got to make a few saves. I'm going to dip into that kind of money. Team apparel, team bag, the usual stuff. I need a new team bag desperately. There's a lot of teams in Sweden that actually don't do team bags. I get tripped all the time because I'm still using my bag for my college team in Vancouver Island University. They're like, you still play college? No, I haven't played for a team that has enough money to get some actual bags. Right? But it's a good bag, Dave. I've taken that thing to so many airports.
Just for the record, $500 US a month is just shy of $650 Canadian.
Okay, so that's my salary, $650. And I don't think there's taxes on that. Maybe there is. I don't know. I think it's under the table. Or maybe I got to get a visa. It's good. These are all questions that I probably should have asked before signing the deal, but that's okay. We're going to figure it out right now live on the podcast and program for this week.
Well, it's funny when you mentioned that they're not quite sure what the living situation is going to be. I don't think a lot of people realize that the Winnipeg Gold Eyes, which is a independent baseball team in Winnipeg, plays in the independent league. It's about the equivalent of double-A ball for those that are familiar with the hierarchy of baseball. There's guys that live at the park. Like, they have dormitories set up at the park because these guys aren't making big scratch. You know, so if they can save a few dollars and live on site and not have to travel and eat there, it's an old cliche, but it literally is for the love of the game.
You know, we're not doing it because there's a lot of money involved. It's because, like, this is, like, the greatest thing to do. If you would have told, let's say, like, four-year-old myself or anybody else who's, like, playing hockey and you tell the version of them when they were, like, 10 years old when they first started, like, hey, you can play hockey for a living. Yeah, you know what? You're not going to be making 500 grand a year. You might be making 500 a week, but you're going to live pretty cheap for the most part. You get a little bit of fun money on the side, and as long as you can find some way to buy some food when you need it here and there, you're set. Like, I think a lot of people would take that offer.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, there's guys that I played hockey with in my hometown in northern Alberta who – In my opinion at the time had a lot of talent and were some of the better players on the team, but we had a situation where in Fort McMurray we had Syncrude and Suncor that were offering $100,000 a year to start as an apprentice. And do you want to go grind it out and travel all across the world and, like you said, kind of scrape between the seat cushions for change to grab something to eat, or do you want to live pretty well at 18, 19 years old or 20 when you're done your junior career? And I think the money a lot of times wins out.
Absolutely. It's kind of funny, like, thinking about it now, I think I was making more money in, like, playing junior, like being paid for junior, than I think I'm gonna be, like, this season for playing pro. I think I was getting $400 to $500 a week. Was it a week or was it a month? I think it was $400 to $500 a month, for junior hockey. You know, $500 a month for pro. So it's kind of puts into perspective, like.
The most I ever remember, and keep in mind, I was playing hockey back in the 90s, but the guy I remember getting paid the most in junior was Trevor Anderson. He was our goaltender. He was, and listen, I don't need to tell you how goalies are a little bit different, but he didn't wear your standard mask. He wore a player's helmet with a visor, like with a full face visor. That's one thing I remember about this guy, but he was getting paid $1,000 a month in junior hockey, junior A, tier 2 hockey.
I'm trying to picture, like, we're talking like the cage is like a full, like, plastic shield, or we're talking like just a player helmet.
Player helmet with a plastic shield, like with a plastic visor, like you would see, like, a lot of Team Canada women wear. That's what he wore.
I gotcha.
You know, he just had his field of vision better. He didn't like having bars in front of his eyes, and so that was his answer.
There's a couple of guys like that, like Timmy Thomas. I know he was big for, like, having, like, the mobility down by his feet to, like, have less in the chin area of his mask. There's a lot of guys like that. But, you know, I find that when you start getting, like, to the higher levels and you talk to guys, like, about different gear choices, like, they don't have, like, a rhyme or reason. They just, oh, it works for me, or it doesn't work for me. Like it's very interesting to see, like, how many pro guys actually have no idea, like, what they wear, or, like, why they're, or, like why... it's constructed the way that it is. They just know that it works or it doesn't. It's kind of like the sword of Excalibur. You pull it out, you're the chosen one, you're not. It's really fascinating. At least
I had another goaltender who, if we can get into goaltender stories, my God, we could go for hours. But I had another goaltender that didn't like wearing socks in his goalie skates, but he didn't like going barefoot either. So he actually wore women's pantyhose. So there was that barrier in between. I'm dead serious. We called him Soft and Silky.
So he's wearing ladies' undergarments for his, inside of his skates.
Yes, just to have that barrier in between his foot and the skate, as thin as possible.
Hey, if it works, it works. They don't ask how, right? They ask how many.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Not exactly your Excalibur story, but it's pantyhose.
You know, actually, now we're kind of getting the ball rolling on that. I was thinking, I don't want to say like the word hazings, because I think that that gives like a bad
initiation.
Like a, yeah, yeah, more like initiation kind of stuff. Like I was thinking, like this year we had we had one guy on the team. I don't know why he came into the room after hours on like a Saturday, fired up a pot of coffee, and in Sweden, like if you mess with the coffee maker, that's how you really kind of like ruin a team's chemistry. Like don't mess with the coffee maker ever, if like someone's gonna get hurt. So he makes a cup of coffee. Like a pot of coffee, and he takes the wet coffee grounds right out of the machine and dumps them in one of the guy's gloves. So he's got like a glove full of wet sop and black coffee grounds. And,
and
he sat beside, yeah, he sat beside me in the locker room and came in the next day. I walk in after I do my warm up, and he's got like the look on his face. Like he just wants to like throw somebody through a wall. I said, Max, what's wrong? He says, okay, I'm not going to talk to him today. That was a good one. And actually, funny enough, sorry, go ahead, Dave.
No, go ahead. I love these stories. Let's trade back and forth. Like I said, we could do this for hours.
We only got so much programming today, but that's okay. We got lots more episodes to come. I'll leave you with this one. Well, I guess two for here. I was at the mall the other day with my lady, and walking down Polo Park, obviously, as you know, and a guy I play AAA with, he bumps in and he's like, Trav, how you doing? Good to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time. And funny enough, so he was the guy, I think everybody team has this guy, the team that, or the guy that, there's just something about him that he asked to be like picked on. Like he says dumb things, he does dumb things, and he just, it's like he's asking for you to like take advantage of that, right? So he comes in one day, and keep in mind, this is like 10 years ago. He comes in, you know, fellas, check this out. I got the brand new Bauer, I guess whatever stick it would have been, probably like a Vapor or Supreme. I can't remember the models back then, but $300 stick. Check it out, how light it is. It's awesome. Shows the fellas, nobody's seen the stick yet. He leaves the room, and so the sticks have like a plug on the top, right? So that one of the guys takes the plug out, and I'll leave all the names out for obvious reasons. But he says, "What? Why don't we piss down the shaft of a stick and then glue the plug back in?" So they take the plug out. One of the guys pissed down the shaft of the stick. They like hot glue gun the plug back to the stick, and wow. so the other guy's on the ice that got the stick. And he's like, the stick feels a little heavier. And he's skating up and down the ice. And you know how like plugs have like that little like gap on the top just in case water is in there. So he's skating. And obviously I see everything as a goaltender. I see him skating around the circles, and I see like little like droplets coming out of the back of the stick. I couldn't believe that. I was like, oh my goodness, what is going on?
Wow.
Here?
But, yeah. Unbelievable. You know, I've always been a big fan of the ones that are harmless. You know, nobody gets hurt in the process. Everyone has a good little chuckle about it. But I think back in my days in the 90s, it was still okay for the hazing rather than the initiation. And some of the stuff got pretty sketchy. But we'll keep those stories off of this podcast for now, especially with what Hockey Canada is going through and all that kind of stuff. So,
actually, I'm glad you brought that up. You want to? I know we talked about it on FaceTime the other day, but if I could just kind of talk, maybe more so me, I don't want to get you in any hot water with this kind of stuff. But just the hockey culture in today's game, I've seen it change. Obviously, I'm getting older. I mean, I've just turned 26. Like right
ancient,
now, I skate with a,
ancient. You are.
Oh, I know. I feel like a dinosaur, and I'm going to explain to you why. So, the pro group that I skate with right now, we got guys. We skate in twice a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays. We have guys who are, you know, 21, 23, my age, 26, but mostly guys in that 20 to 23 ballpark. Like just. They're finishing up their Western League career, about to go crack pro, NCAA about to go pro, or somewhere in that ballpark, right? And the guys were just talking about how, like, there's probably like one to two of these like entitled, things are going to go my way type of players in, on every team nowadays. And I remember like when I played, it might have been like two to three guys in a league. And I think it's kind of a little bit of a reflection on society. But when we start getting back to the Hockey Canada stuff, and I don't know any ins and outs of that, because I have as much knowledge as you do, Dave, and as much as the general public does, but just the way that it feels like hockey players are bred to treat other people and treat women specifically, it's like, I was talking to my dad about this in the car the other day, but if you cut hockey away, whether you're a D-man putting up a point per game, if you're the star forward who's carrying the team, if you're a star goaltender, whatever, you cut that aside, what do you have left? Well, nothing.
Reminds me of the old line from Avengers. What are you? Take off the suit, and what are you? Playboy, philanthropist, billionaire. But unfortunately, most guys aren't like that. You know what? It starts young. Okay, so keep in mind that when you've got a bunch of young men in a locker room going through puberty, showering together. I mean, and not just hockey. I mean, it's pretty widespread throughout team sports, but it becomes a very homoerotic atmosphere. And then you've got a lot of teasing. You've got a lot of kids who are developing faster than others. And then there's pointing and there's giggling and there's laughing. And you're in this for the long haul until you become a young adult. And you've also got this team mentality that, despite the fact that you kind of poke fun at each other and whatnot in the locker room, it's still kind of a pack mentality. And you support each other in on and off the ice. I mean, you're a team. You're whether or not you get along with somebody or not off the ice, you've got their back on the ice. So it's a combination of all these variables coming together and just being this very testosterone charged situation. And more often than not, there's pressure on some of these young kids. You know, even with, you know, are you a virgin? Have you been with a girl? Stuff. I mean, conversations like that happen, and they're not always monitored inside the locker room by somebody who has enough wherewithal to guide a lot of these young adolescent kids or young adults through. And it just spirals, unfortunately, into this really horrible, toxic culture where people become victims of what I think a lot of times these hockey players don't realize is all that toxic.
I totally agree with that. I think you put that in a really good way. But I think maybe like when guys were growing up, right? Like when you're 14, 15, 16, I can kind of sympathize a little bit, because like you don't totally understand like some things. But like when we start getting to like adult territory, right? Like you're, you know, like mine is 26. We're talking about like grown adults, 45, 50, who are running the teams. And in Hockey Canada's situation, we're cutting checks. We have an actual fund dedicated to money to put aside to silence people, to shut up. Here's some money. Go away. Have a good time. I heard a story the other day, and I got to leave names out and teams out for obvious reasons. I don't want this to come back to so-and-so player. And I talked to Dave about this on FaceTime the other day. But at the skate that I do, one of the guys plays NCAA. And he mentioned that his team had committed a player this season who had 3 sexual assault charges in the last 12 months, and the team is just dishing out money like, hey, like be quiet. And I can't imagine like being a person who would do that to somebody, especially like 3 times in 1 year. And then also being the coach, being the, I guess, the people in charge at the higher level of this, you know, NCAA program or whatever, again, trying to keep it confidential here, that says, okay, how many felonies do you have? 2. But can you make a good first pass? Right? How's your first pass? How's your first 3 strides? Like, it bugs me. I've seen this a lot in the last little bit. It just bugged me. I wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, this also goes back to our initial conversation about, you know, guys that are investing and wanting to make money in business people. And the priority is, can they put the puck in the net? Can they stop the puck? Can they produce on the ice? And any issues outside of that, how big are these issues? And they look at the issues and they go, okay, can we put this to bed? Can they be managed? Can they be controlled? Can we make sure we keep them out of trouble despite the trouble in the past? And if the answers to those questions are yes, sometimes the talent outweighs some of those problems too. I mean, look, we've seen, you know, the NFL is chock full of convicts, guys that have spent time. I mean, it's true. It's unfortunate. NBA has the same thing. There's a handful of guys in a lot of professional leagues, including hockey, who have gotten into trouble. Some of them have had it swept under the rug. Some of them haven't. But it's certainly kept outside of the media because you want this person to be a darling and you want to sell jerseys. So it comes down again to that initial investment. Is the talent bigger than the problem?
Yeah, or like you mentioned, not even necessarily being able to put the problem away, but like, do we have the funds to silence people to make sure it's not a problem, so we can continue to put up points, put up wins, and make money as a business?
Sure. It's just, yeah, absolutely. And I think that was the most striking revelation that came out of this whole Hockey Canada thing, was that there was a fund put aside for liabilities, insurance liabilities, and misconduct accusations. And I'm not saying that 100% of these accusations are, you know, that hold water, but I think we can say that a good number of them probably do. And unfortunately, there are some people out there that maybe knew that they could get paid out if they made an accusation and decided to go that way. It's not impossible. We've seen that happen before. We just saw it happen recently in court with 2 very large Hollywood stars. So I'm not saying that all of them don't hold water, but it's unfortunate that they even have to have a situation to have a fund for that type of thing.
Yeah, and it might be maybe people reading into it too much and trying to come up with the headline for the media, but when, like you mentioned, it's come out that they've, you know, paid so-and-so off, and now that they've had their money, they want to come out and they want to come forward. It's like, you have to think that this kind of stuff happens. I mean, I've skated with, like, there was a player who, top five pick, let's say, in the last 10 years. So that way it doesn't give specifics, because the guy that I've been skating with recently, who was a top 20 pick, he's an absolutely fantastic guy. Owen Pickering, shout out to him. Unreal defenseman, by the way.
But that's not who we're talking about.
We're not talking about Picks. Picks is a fantastic guy. By the way, just signed a contract. Dude just made himself $100,000, and he gave me shit on Instagram for not coming to like one of the skates the other day. I had to bail last minute. He says, "Trav, come on, buddy. Don't let it ever happen again." I said, "Yes, Picks. I will not. I will never not show up to a skate ever again. Sorry." I wonder what he's going to buy with that $100,000. Or, sorry, $98,500.
I think the answer is whatever he wants.
I know you haven't had a chance to listen to some of the earlier episodes, but Matt Murray, new Leafs goaltender, he mentioned his first signing bonus, spent the whole thing on a brand new Ford Raptor and whatnot.
Why not? You know what? I've seen guys be really stupid with their money. I've seen guys be really smart with their money. Again, not mentioning names, but he's another goaltender. I remember him signing a contract, and the first person he called was a financial advisor and says, "How much money can or should I put away, and how much can I keep just to kind of spend?" And that's the question that I think most hockey players or professional athletes should be asking, instead of be like, "Oh, got $100,000? That's gone." I mean, Rory McIlroy tells a story about when he won his first tournament. The first thing he did is bought himself an expensive watch and then put the rest in the bank, because it's unfortunate, but a lot of players and athletes think that this money's just not going to stop. And we all know the stories of how many professional athletes have gone broke within a couple of years of their careers ending. And there just has to be a better education system in place for these guys to lean on, especially these young athletes at 18 years old getting handed a ton of money. I mean, I'm turning 43 this year, and I'm still dumb with my money. If you give me that kind of money when I'm 18, I probably would have been dead.
Dave, you're not supposed to tell people you're 43. I said you're young and lean at the beginning of the show.
It's all perception.
The first goal you mentioned, that wasn't Kiprusoff. I know you mentioned a couple of good Kiprusoff stories over the years over on radio in the mornings.
That wasn't a Kiprusoff story, I do have a couple of good ones from there.
Can we talk about Kiprusoff's story? I'm sorry, he was one of my favorite goalies growing up. I feel like there's nothing good out there about him. I've heard countless stories from you over the years about Kiprusoff. Why don't we do Kiprusoff, a couple more things, and then we'll cap off the podcast here.
Okay, so I had a buddy who had a cup of coffee with the Vancouver Canucks, and he tells this story. Can we name drop him? Yeah, sure. Jason Jaffrey, hell of a guy. He's actually coaching his kids back in Southern Alberta now, and he's a good dude. I went over and actually won a bunch of championships with the Red Bulls in Austria and had a pretty good American League career. But he was he had a cup of coffee with the Vancouver Canucks, and so this is his story. So it's exhibition. They're in Vancouver. Calgary's visiting. And
this is the one. This is the one I was thinking about. Yep.
Yeah. So they go to the Roxy after this exhibition game, and for those that don't know, the Roxy is like the place to be. At least it was back in the day. I'm pretty sure it still is. And so the Flames are there, the Canucks are there. You know, all the to-dos are there, and Chad Kroeger, lead singer of Nickelback, happens to be there. And so of course he's like, "Hey boys, whatever." They start partying this and that, and him and Mika Kiprusoff end up striking up a pretty good conversation, and they just get absolutely annihilated together. And Chad says, "Mika, you gotta come back to my place just outside of Van so we can play road hockey." And Mika Kiprusoff says, "Sure, this sounds great, let's go." And so off they go to Chad Kroeger's mansion, and they play road hockey in his driveway until the wee hours of the morning. And it was to the point where the next morning everyone's showing up down in the lobby of the hotel, and coach comes out and where's Kipper? Anyone seen Kipper? And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, geez. I don't think anyone saw him come back to the hotel last night. So they're texting him. And they send him a text message, and they're like, "Kipper, where are you, man? Like, the bus is going to leave here in about 15 minutes. He's like, "I'll be there right away." He was actually getting helicoptered in from Chad Kroeger's place, and there was a helicopter landing pad on the hotel across the street. So he landed, took the elevator all the way down across the street, sits down, looking all disheveled, gets on the bus. Coach comes over and goes, "Hey, Kipper, late night last night, you okay?" And Kipper goes, "Yeah, coach, I'm fine." And then proceeds to just vomit all down the front of his shirt. Partying with rock stars, ladies and gentlemen, that's what it yields.
Oh my God, that's an amazing story. And he was such a quiet guy to the media. Like, it almost felt like he was pretending he wouldn't know English, and he's just a quiet, soft-spoken guy. Didn't want to be bothered. But then you mentioned stories like that. Like, it's always those guys that are the absolute biggest party animals. And I mean, you're hanging out with Chad Kroeger. I mean, you don't know you're going to be having a good night, no?
No, that's the story. That's a story you tell for the rest of your life. I plan on telling it. It's not even my story.
I've heard it a few times on the radio, and that's why I'm happy you told that one. I think too, the house that he had with the hockey rink in the basement, I think it sold for 50, was it 50 million he sold the house for? It was a huge house where he had the whole basement turned into an indoor hockey rink.
Jeepers Murphy. That's incredible.
You haven't heard about this before?
No.
Yeah, okay, so I'll rewind the story. So Chad Kroeger, Nickelback, lead singer, living in Vancouver, he buys his house. I can't remember what he paid for it, but it's almost like the rock star song. I want a bathroom I can play baseball in. I think he took that too literally, and he literally said, "I want the basement of the house turned into an indoor hockey rink." I don't know if he was having a hard time playing shinny pickup with his buddies and not getting recognized, or what the idea was, or just had too much money. But whole basement turned into an indoor hockey rink, and I think he lived there for like a good 5, 8, maybe 10 years, whatever it was. And then I think he recently sold it. I think he sold it maybe 2 years ago. Might have been 2020.
Did he actually put it in an ice rink, or was it more of that synthetic ice that you can skate on? Because that would
be video. But from the picture, it looked like a legitimate like ice rink with the Zamboni, with the ice plant, everything in the basement, which is why it was so much money and why he ended up selling the house for what it was.
Incredible. I'm just trying to think of the civil engineering on that. And then I guess Madison Square Garden's on the fifth floor, or the hockey rink's on the fifth floor of Madison Square Garden, so it's doable. I wonder in that climate, that's interesting. Because he lives up close to the mountains too, so even just to dig and get down that deep, because you'd want probably 20 foot, at least 20, 25 foot ceiling, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking 25. I would think at least, assuming you don't have like a jumbotron or anything in the middle to kind of get in the way. Yeah. Well, imagine the jumbotron 6 feet up off the ice.
You can imagine. I mean, it's a lot easier if you're an NBA guy, because I know, listen, Kobe Bryant had his own gym. LeBron James has his own gym. A lot of these NBA guys build their own gyms and their own full court, sometimes half court in their houses. But hockey rink's a different level. Like, that's a different level. We all build one outside in the wintertime, but jeez.
Indoors in Vancouver, where the weather, whether we're talking winter or summer, does not accommodate at all for building the rink. And also, I'm thinking too, he would have had to hire somebody on a full-time salary, like just to maintain it, like the ice keeper for making sure the ice plant, nothing bad happens with that. Maybe we'll finish with this one. I ever tell you the time, I probably haven't, but I actually worked as a Zamboni driver in Winnipeg for about 9 months at a place that will remain nameless for insurance purposes. But so I work as a Zamboni driver, and I was like the assistant to the head guy. So I was kind of like the meathead, and one of the best tricks in the books, the Zamboni was like a propane powered Zamboni. So you have two propane tanks. The one propane tank runs out. You hear it putter go, and then you change the propane tank, and then it fires up the second tank. You finish the flood, and then you change the tanks after. Well, obviously I'm not the full-time guy. I'm paid by the hour. The other guy is paid salary. So I'm looking for any way to try to milk out the time that I'm there to maybe create some more issues where I can stay there longer and get paid for. So end of the night, my one propane tank runs out, change to the other one. I finish up the last flood. I do not change the propane tank. So when the head guy comes in the next morning, he's going to have one propane tank. It's going to empty, and then he's going to have nothing, and he's going to stall in the middle of the ice. So I come in around, I guess, 11 or noon, and I guess this is at the time when, funny enough, the propane tank emptied. So it empties. You see the Zamboni stall. And then he's slowly sinking into the ice, just ever so slightly sinking into the ice. And I guess he sees me in the lobby, and I could see him cussing and yelling at me, because he knew, obviously, I was the one who set him up for this, right? And because the Zamboni is leaving hot water on the ice, it sinks in, I think, probably about a good, I'm going to say 4 inches, maybe 4 or 5 inches into the ice. And then the cloth ends up sticking and all this kind of stuff. So ended up having to fix that. And yeah, I mean, to get paid by the hour, it was a good day. If you were on salary, it was not a good day. At all.
Wow! That's almost reminiscent of the what was in the pro league when one of the Pistons went, or the it was the coolant, and it was red, and it looked like there was just blood spilling out. Like looked like somebody jumped in the augers of the ice machine and was just getting spit out Fargo style out the back.
Yeah, that was in San Jose, I believe. Yeah. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, listen, a lot of people think driving an ice machine is easy. There's a skill to it. There's a skill. You constantly see those guys pumping stuff back and forth, like you said, turning dials. It's like, I'm not going to say it's like flying an airplane, but there's a lot of, it's very intricate work.
to be good, to just get by and get paid, you know, 13, actually, I think I was 15 bucks an hour at that point in time, bare minimum effort. Drive straight, turn right, refill the water every 2 to 3 floods, and you're good to go. I will tell you this. I did find out this. So my superior, Zamboni driver, he told me one night, he's like, do me a favor, try to stop bumping into the boards. You're going to wreck the boards like every time when we like reset them every year. I was like, okay. So he heads home, and I, after hours, I'm finishing up the flood. It's usually like a double flood to finish the night, and I thought, what would happen if I just rammed the Zamboni into the boards? I actually was curious about this. So I'm going like at Zamboni speeds, which would have been about maybe 5 kilometers an hour. And I just went head on into the boards, like the Titanic heading into an iceberg, and bang, it just like bounces back right off the boards. Like, I guess maybe they put the boards in really good, but the Zamboni went and it just backed right up while the tires were still spinning forward. And I said to the heads guy the next day, I said, I don't think bumping in the boards is that big of an issue. Nothing really happens, eh? And then I told him what had happened. He's like, you idiot. You can't do that. I said, well, I did do that.
It's amazing you kept that job.
Nine months. I'm like, I would go grocery shopping in between floods. Everything but work. There was one time the tranny actually did blow on the Zamboni driver. Or on the not on the Zamboni driver, on the Zamboni. And I called the head guy. I was like, hey, so there's red fluid, or I think it was red and there was blue fluid coming out of both sides. I said, what do you want me to do? He's like, no matter what you do, do not start the Zamboni. I said, can I back it up? No, do not start it.
Wow.
So, life of a Zamboni driver there.
Funny enough, something else we have in common. I worked in a hockey rink where I played out of in my minor hockey when I was playing AAA. Me and, funny enough, one of our goaltenders, we managed to get a summer job there. Just doing maintenance, painting pipes above the rink and doing general maintenance, fixing up railings, stairs, all that kind of stuff. And keep in mind, again, this is in Fort McMurray where St. Gruden's on court and there's a lot of guys making good money. I remember Morris, Newfoundland gentleman, he comes running at us one day. He's like, boys, settle down. Slow down. We're like, what's going on? We're making good progress. He's like, boys, there's guys sitting out there at St. Crude right now playing cribbage. They're playing cards and they're making $50 an hour. I'm paying you minimum wage. Slow down. So he was the exact opposite. He's like, no, take breaks, relax, chill. It's all good.
You don't get paid enough to care. You just get paid to show up.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, and again, isn't that what this whole conversation is about? Is what are you getting paid for? Are you getting paid to show up and stop pucks or to score goals? And what is your worth?
What kind of value? What kind of value are you bringing to the table at the end of the day? I mean, stopping pucks, good attitude, and
Well, I've got an interesting question for you as we get closer to winding this down, because I know you're a busy guy and you probably got to go work out again for the 8th time today, but. Do you think that all of the social media stuff that you do and your YouTube channel and the podcast and everything, do you think that teams look at that and go, that's a benefit for us?
I think the smart teams do. And I think, honest to God, I think COVID has changed that so much, because before COVID, it felt like every head coach and every organization told me that was stupid. Don't bring the cameras to the rink. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear about it. But now that these organizations, these teams, and these coaches are, I don't want to say bankrupt, but pretty close, and they're pretty desperate to kind of make their money back because they've had 2 years of having no fans or whatever the case was, they're willing to try anything. And they say, can you please do a video? I'm begging you. Bring out all the cameras. Like, please. And on my end of things, I like it because I like to be creative. It's very soothing to me to be able to put together a really cool video that kind of shows a story and kind of, it's just visually appealing, but also it has changed my life in regards to like giving me opportunities and also some flexibility to take chances that I never would have been able to, because like we talked about earlier in the show, like in my neck of the woods, we're talking about making $125 a week, $500 a month. And you can't, I mean, yeah, it's great during the season, but like, you can't really do much with that. Like, you realistically have to live at home in mom's basement for, you know, 6 months, 5 months out of the year, probably work a job in the summer, and then you come back for hockey season. But having YouTube and having the podcast to provide me with a couple extra bucks to, you know, fly to different places for different tryouts and different opportunities has really helped me take my career to the next level. And I think showcase myself to teams that I can play, I can help you, I can put asses in the seats. And I know, like, with the team that I've signed the contract with, by the way, haven't mentioned this. So the team is called the Motor City Rockers in Detroit. Tell me that is not the best name of any pro hockey team out there. Motor City Rockers. They got a kick-ass logo. And our arena, the home arena, is called the Big Boy Arena. Like, what an amazing name, amazing team, amazing arena. Doesn't get much better.
It's a good logo, too. Looks like Bret the Hitman Hart.
Oh, so you're looking at it right now with the guitar turning into the hockey stick? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So they haven't announced the jerseys publicly. I have seen the jerseys. Dave, I'm telling you, like, this is probably going to be the best-dressed team in the league. And the coach also mentioned that we only play rock music during the games, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, whatever. We don't play pop, country, rap. It's only rock, only metal music. And I was thinking, like, my haircut would fit perfectly. My Cobain tribute mask that I've been doing the last couple of years in a row fit perfectly. What if I just got, like a leather biker jacket or something, and just came to the rink like that on game nights? That'd be a good 80s, like maybe some tight leather pants. I'm getting too far carried away here, but...
Get excited, man. Absolutely get excited. Well, okay, so it kind of looks like a cross... Honestly, it looks like a cross between the Calgary Hitmen logo from the WHL and the cover of Brutal Legend, that video game that Jack Black did. That's the best way I can describe how this logo looks.
I think maybe if you're a little younger and you ever play Guitar Hero 3... Like, you know, like the fat guy with the black hair, that character, it's him mixed with the Hitman logo. It's a dude, like, I don't know if maybe shredding on guitar, but he's playing like a flying V. I think it's a flying V guitar. Is it a flying V?
Or is it
an Explorer?
It looks like a modified, yeah, it looks like a Gibson. But hey, they probably made it look very ambiguous. I'm telling you, man, that's a good logo.
It's a good look. Dave, I'm telling you, the third jersey. I like the home and the away, but the third jersey is going to look so great. I got a couple ideas for the mask plan this year, but I think it's going to be a great look. We're talking about the YouTube side of things. Like, the team has already talked about like what are we going to do for videos? How can you use your vlog and your podcast to help bring people to the rink? Well, funny enough, so I think 60% of my audience everywhere, especially on YouTube, is U.S. based, and of that, the two biggest states that I have a following in are New York and Michigan. I'm signed to play in Detroit. Like, it's a match made in heaven as far as like bringing people to the games. Like, I've had so many people message me on Instagram, hey, I saw the signing, hey, I saw this. Obviously, I'm not talking about it publicly yet. But yeah, just so much potential, I think. And the team sees that. A lot of other teams may not see that, but hopefully we can change some people's minds that there is a way to do this the right way, to bring some good positive attention to the team, pump everybody up in the community, get people coming to the games, and just do it in a fun way. Get people excited, and also get me excited, because this stuff makes me excited. Like we were just talking about, with the leather pants, the jean jacket, whatever it may be, the long hair, the mullet, the Cobain mask, the new one for the season, all this stuff has got me really, really, really excited. And I'll tell you right now, I'm ready to start the season. I think I've been home for a little bit too long.
when do you ship out?
So I'm supposed to go to Vancouver in 2 weeks, just get my goalie coach for 2.5 weeks, but might have to make some changes to that, because I was supposed to fly to Europe August 30th, but if there's no European offer, then that doesn't matter anymore. Now we got to change the plans for camp, which is going to be, I think, October 3rd. But I think I'm going to be reporting for September 27th or 28th. Actually, this is actually a good note to leave you on. So for me to get to Detroit, the most common route would be to fly Winnipeg, Toronto, Toronto to Detroit. I don't want to fly. I had an experience.
Because you don't want to lose your hockey gear.
That's a story we'll get into in a second. So my last two endeavors in Toronto, 9 and a 6-hour delay at Pearson. I don't want that. My boy Eric Portillo, he was on the previous version of the podcast, and he went to Sabres development camp. And so he uses like my Traspec Pro laces, like the toe dyes that I use. And I saw him using the skate laces, and I messaged him. I was like, dude, what's going on? Like, why aren't you using the Traspecs? He's like, bro, they lost my gear. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, the airline, they lost all my gear. It was in, I think he mentioned it was in London. It's like, did you fly through London? He's like, no, I didn't even go to London. So somehow all of his gear is in London. He's in Buffalo, and the team had to buy him brand new gear. So I don't want to have that happen. So I don't want to fly Air Canada or out of Pearson. So I was like, okay, well, what if I take the train? Well, the train from Toronto to Buffalo or to Detroit is about a 2-day milk run around New York and then Buffalo.
Gross.
I don't know about that. I was like, okay, well, what about if I was able to get myself from Toronto to Windsor, and then just get picked up at the border? So I talked to some people in the team, and there's some people that have made certain personal choices, medical choices. And they're like, well, dude, we can't come over the border. We're not allowed. I was like, what if I walked over the border? Like, if I got my ass to the Windsor border, I got like a red wagon or something, I put my bag, my suitcase, and I just walked over the border and got picked up. That would be great for TV. I know Dave and I were talking about this on FaceTime the other night, but I don't know what other options. Maybe fly Winnipeg to Minneapolis to Detroit, but
the best part is you're going to ask the TSA or the border agent, say, listen, would you mind putting a camera on the other side of the border so I can get a shot of me walking the, like, get them to be like your full production team. It'll be great. I'm sure they'll love that.
You just want to be in my video? What kind?
Oh, by the way, don't forget, border agents have zero sense of humor.
Oh.
I pulled up to a border agent one time traveling over the border to go down to North Dakota, and the guy says, where are you from? And I said, originally my mom. Is that the kind of day it's going to be today? I was like, well, I am sorry. It is early. I do a morning radio show, and comedy is my thing. I am from Winnipeg. I am very sorry.
Wow. I can picture you saying that too, and the guy has like the sunglasses, the kind of look on, and he says, just pull around the corner, sir, and just come inside if you don't mind. Like, no personality at all. These guys are such stiffos. And like, some of the questions they ask too are just absolutely ridiculous.
Now, another good one. There's an SUV of us. I'm driving, and we're heading from Winnipeg to Fargo to grab a plane from Fargo to Las Vegas. And we get to the border crossing, and all of the guy a stack of passports and hands them over. She goes, where are you heading? I said, Fargo, Vegas. And she goes, what's your business in Vegas? And I looked at her, I said, is that a serious question? And she just kind of smirked. She handed back the passport. She said, have a great time. Drive safe.
Oh, there you go. Somebody has some personality in the TSA these days.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just want to say, Dave, thank you so much for doing this with me. I know it was a little bit short notice, and I know you got a million and one better things to do than do a podcast with me, but I appreciate you coming on, man. It was fun to have you on today.
I look forward to being on again. Hit me up anytime.
You got it. And as far as the regular people listening, I believe new episodes every Sunday. I think I'm going to stick around the noontime. I'm going to confirm that probably in the next episode. Some changes I still got to make to the YouTube channel, to the Instagram, all that kind of stuff, the social media for the podcast will be fixed soon. Thank you so much to everybody for listening to this new Slinging the Biscuit episode one, season two, episode one, I guess it was. By the way, Dave, we were on with my previous host, we were 66 episodes. We were three away from episode 69. You and I are going to have to do about a year and a half worth of work to get back to episode 69.
It's hilarious.
Pick the number 69. That's my friend Doug.
Great movie. There's actually a wonderful actor in that movie that plays the sportscaster. You should go check it out if you haven't seen it.
I know. Dave was in the movie, by the way. If you see Dave's face in the video version, look on Goon, on the Goon movie Goon. They filmed a lot of the stuff in Winnipeg, and he was one of the sportscasters on there. You got a gay son and a stupid son. Stupid, gay. Gay, stupid. You see this, Dad? Thank you, everybody, and have a great night. We'll see you next Sunday.